Right then, all I wanted, despite my eager, throbbing hand, which still yearned for the delirious, knowledgeable magic of her touch, all I wanted was for her to leave right away, without explanations, without kindness. If only she would just stand up and go, walk back over to her own bench, pick up that ridiculous set of plaid luggage, the makeup kit, the carry-on, the weekender, the garment bag, the next goddamn size, whatever it was, the trunk and the Pullman, throw the plaid lot of them on some train to anywhere or nowhere, I didn't care which, as long as I never saw her again. I'm sorry, she was saying. I just hadn't expected. Don't bother, I said. Honestly, if gruffly. And then, for some reason, I decided to tell her a lie. I'm used to it, I said. Please, she said. I still want to, even more now. Really, I do. Let me go ahead. Please? I didn't bother to look at her then. Didn't feel like subjecting myself to her saintly, self-sacrificing smile of pity. But I thought to myself, why the hell not? My hand was still throbbing, ready to go. All right, I said. But you'll have to do it over here. It doesn't move. The hardness in my voice. Was that what made her manner so grave, her steps so slow, as she stood and walked around my knees, took off her shiny black pumps and knelt before my hand, before my rare, exquisite instrument, which she claimed so much to admire. With grim satisfaction, I watched her kneel, knees in nylon stockings on the unwashed marble floor, and I knew then that my hand, that tumescent appendage, would feel no pleasure from her touch, for pleasure was something I could not allow myself to feel, would never again seek. So swollen was I with insult and injury. That was when I opened my eyes. The better, I suppose, to observe the ceremonial humiliation I was planning for virtuous, artistic, sexy Miss Two. Her comeuppance for not being turned on by my undetachable hand. Before she played a note, before any music had a chance to perform its healing function, I opened my long-shut eyes, and there, kneeling before my hand, my vindictive hand, I saw no one, nobody, no Miss Two at all. Her luggage, as well, when I looked for it, it showed no sign of its plaid selves, nor could I detect any remnant trace or residual piece of litter telling the tale of Mr. One's nap on his bench. My hand was still heavy, still foreign, still puzzling, and it looked not the least bit rare or exquisite. It hurt, in fact, ached, and annoyed me, which proved, I suppose, that now it was really a part of myself, part of my body, fully from now on a part of my person. A person who had surprised himself with his talent for cruelty, with his knack for calculating. Even in fantasy, the maximum value of another's pain.